This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
Hello, I'm Mark Belanger. Because of the pandemic, countries all around the world are being forced to face the consequences of poorly funding their public services in the past few decades. As the focus changes to what economies will look like after the pandemic, many are discussing the need to reinvigorate public services with adequate funding or taking back services which were contracted out to private entities. Remunicipalization is at the top of the list. That is why Public Services International has partnered with the Transnational Institute to publish a book entitled The Future is Public. The PSI is the global union which represents national public service unions at the world level. The Institute, which operates under its acronym TNI, is an international research and advocacy institute based in the Netherlands. A while back, I spoke to the PSI's expert on remunicipalization, Daria Cibrayo. I asked her to define remunicipalization.
So, Mark, remunicipalization, or insourcing as some call it, it's the return of public services from private control and ownership of any form, so public-private partnerships, outsourcing, concessions or leases, to full public ownership, management or control. But this kind of phenomenon is linked to the term municipal because it is observed eminently at the subnational level. It is mostly municipalities, cities, local governments and their communities who are taking back control and in some cases we say deprivatizing their public services for a whole series of reasons. What is interesting about this process is that very often what we see is not just a return to public as it was before the privatization, but these processes are creating a space and opportunities to make public services more democratic and participatory by giving a chance to service users, but also community groups, workers, residents, to co-design together with the local authorities the public services they need. There's also another terminology which is connected to remunicipalization, and it's emerging increasingly, and this is municipalization, which refers to the creation of new public service that was not existing before, and this again is being observed mostly at the local government level. So let me just mention a few figures which can give you the magnitude of these trends. Recent data from the Transnational Institute, which will be published in a forthcoming book titled The Future is Public in April 2020, have identified 1,400 cases of remunicipalization or municipalization involving more than 2,400 cities in 58 countries, and these across all different sectors of services.
Why should cities consider remunicipalization?
Well, first of all, remunicipalization is a very practical, pragmatic response for local governments to deliver quality public services to their local communities following the clear failure of privatization to do so and keep its promises. After 20 years of systematic privatization, practically across all countries around the world, what we see and local government representatives of all across all political lines very often seem to agree on that, the access to basic services such as water, affordable housing, energy, but also healthcare, education and child, social and elderly care has become more expensive, more difficult to access. And that is a big part of the widening inequality and social crisis and climate crisis as well that our world is experiencing today. And since local government is the first line of government, which is in direct touch with people, with citizens, communities, residents, Local government is particularly well placed to have to respond in a very concrete and practical manner to these huge challenges. At a time when cities and subnational governments are stripped more than ever of the resources they need to tackle daunting challenges, they have come up with remunicipalization as a way to, for instance, cut costs. While often it is thought that it is externalizing and privatizing that makes local councils save money, what we see is actually a very different story. The evidence shows different data. For example, in 2014, the Auditor General of the province of Ontario in Canada reviewed 74 public-private partnerships projects and concluded that they had cost the public $8 billion Canadian dollars more than if the province had used directly procured projects to implement them. And at the same time, in the UK in 2018, the National Audit Office report found that the cost of privately financing public projects can be 40% higher than relying solely on government borrowing. But there's a whole plethora of reasons. Certainly, first of all, costs. Second, the ability of for the local council and the local government to ensure that the service they deliver to their community is of high quality and that they can control that quality. Because once the service is externalized, is outsourced and privatized, then all the local council can do is to complain with a private operator, but it does no longer have a direct control on the service. And therefore, this creates a real problem. It is also about expanding access for users, because as you can imagine, when it is a private operator which has to generate profits and then pay out shareholders dividends, what matters is to ensure that the service they provide is also profitable for the company. So they are not going to go, for instance, into public transport in remote and rural areas because those are not overall profitable, whereas local government has a mandate to pursue non-profitable mandates, which, however, have a social and environmental value. It is also critical for a local government to keep in-house the capacity to deliver strategic services. If we look at the case of Oslo in Norway, which had privatized its waste management service for over 20 years, when the private company that had been contracted went bankrupt, they had to remunicipalize, so they decided to take it back in-house, but then they had to rebuild the whole capacity to deliver that service. They had to repurchase the infrastructures, like the truck, rehire the people. So there's a big cost curve in that sense. So keeping in-house this capacity to deliver the service is very strategic.
You can find more information about the book, The Future is Public, on the TNI website at tni.org.